North Idaho News of the Week is brought to you in part by Evergreen Realty, commercial and residential property listings. Online at evergreen-realty.com. Good morning. You've tuned in to North Idaho News of the Week. It is Friday, November 15th. I'm Jack Peterson, and I'm here joined by Chris Bessler. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Jack. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. It is not raining at the moment, so, you know, I was able to ride my bike in this morning and...
Dodge the raindrops. Okay.
It was a pleasant... A pleasant ride, and so yes,
I'm doing well. Did you use that one block stretch of Pine Street that's been reopened?
Oh, you bet! Yes, I did. I did use that stretch. It was nice. It probably a slightly shorter commute for me anyway this morning than usual. We're joined this morning by Eric Welch, staff reporter for the Bonner County Daily Bee. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning.
And thank you for being here. Hold on. Here. I got the wrong microphone on. There we go. Okay. And I'm going to run down the headlines at this time. So here we go. Starting with some school news in both Lake Pendere and West Bonner County, there's been some big changes and news lately. Out in West Bonner County, the school district is considering school closures after the levee failure on November 5th. This was something that has been anticipated for a while, and the likely result of the levee failing, but now they are facing some tough math out in West Bonner County, and Eric has written the first article on that I've seen in our local media, so we'll be talking a little bit about what the plans are out in West Bonner County. Here in Lake Pendere School District, which covers Sandpoint and the immediate surrounding area, Board Chair Geraldine Lewis has announced her resignation. The board will declare that seat vacant at their meeting on December 10th, and applications in School Board Zone 4 will be open probably until early January to fill Lewis's term, which lasts until 2027. The board will accept applications and then vote on a new appointment to fill her seat. There won't be a general election to fill that seat until 2027. The criminal courts, I'll just mention briefly, there was especially on social media, a story that's been getting a lot of coverage or a lot of discussion, and so worth mentioning here on our program, that the rape and kidnapping case that was filed on, I believe, November 3rd or 4th, has been dismissed on a motion that the defendant is not the correct suspect. This has been something that's been kind of, I guess, hotly debated because the suspect in question was supposedly from Nicaragua, and there was some question, there was some vaguely political implications around this case, especially in light of it being filed just a couple days before the election. But that case has now been dismissed, and the defendant has been declared, just dismissed. There was not even a trial, so I can't say that he was declared not guilty, but there was no case, at least with that defendant. Speaking of courts, Idaho's abortion ban is now facing a challenge. That court case is underway now in Boise. The case is Atkins versus State of Idaho. It has just started on November 12th. So that case is now ongoing, and we'll watch and see what the results of that are. Here in Bonner County, a couple of county commission news items. Yes, Bonner County Emergency Medical Services, that's Bonner County EMS, received an emergency $2 million loan from the county commissioners at a special November 8th meeting to continue their operations through January. They had completely run out of money, apparently, and needed a $2 million loan, which was granted by the county commission unanimously. And the Bonner County Republican Central Committee will meet on Tuesday to determine whether Commissioner Steve Bradshaw from District 1 has vacated his seat. The Republican Central Committee and its chair, Scott Herndon, alleges that Bradshaw has vacated and has left the county, and that therefore they can nominate replacements to fill that seat. Bradshaw, on the other hand, contests this claim and says he's still here and would like to fill out the remaining, about 6 weeks of his term. What will happen at that meeting on Tuesday is certainly going to be interesting. And whether what happens next, if the Bonner County Republican Central Committee determines that he has vacated his seat and proceeds to make nominations, those will go to the governor. And then from the governor, Bradshaw, I suppose, could be replaced, but if he contests it, that'll go to court. How about in Ponderay? The police department is no longer accepting any stray dogs. This follows the termination of their contract with the Better Together Animal Alliance. Ponderay, as well as Sandpoint, as well as Bonner County, all terminated their contract with the Better Together Animal Alliance Animal Shelter to take care of stray dogs earlier this year. And I suppose we've all been kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop, and here it falls, at least in Ponderay. The police department will not accept any stray dogs at all. And if you find a stray dog, you want it to be taken somewhere, you'll have to do the taking of it yourself and find an animal shelter that will accept that animal. That's our local news. I'll mention some celestial news as well.
Celestial news.
I bet you know what I'm going to say here, Chris. A meteor lit up the sky on Wednesday mm-hmm. morning in our area. Did you happen to see
it? I did not see it. Did you see it?
No, I didn't. Too early, but I have some friends in Western Montana who, because of the time difference, were awake at that time, and it was apparently quite a sight.
A fireball.
Yeah. I mean, lit up. Some folks in Missoula saw it. People in Washington State saw it, and up here in Idaho, we got it too. Also, there's a full moon tonight, the Beaver Moon.
The Beaver Moon. Yes.
The Beaver Moon is the full moon of November, and that'll be tonight. The apex of the full moon mm-hmm. is at about 2 this afternoon, I think, mm-hmm. in local time. That's the news that I have. There is more to discuss, but I think that's plenty to get us started here. Should we start? Unless I missed anything, should we start talking about the school district a little bit? Let's talk West Bonner County, right? Let's see, Eric. The levy on November 5th failed. It would have been a 1 year levy for general operations.
A little over $1 million.
Yeah.
$1.13 million. Yep.
$1.13 million. It was on the ballots on November 5th, and it failed to pass. And so now the school board, the West Bonner County School Board, is facing the repercussions of that. And what are they going to do? They're considering closing what schools, or what measures are they kind of considering as they move forward?
Yeah. So I was at they had a facilities committee meeting mm-hmm. On Wednesday, where some district officials and members of the public kind of gathered to talk about the future of the facilities in the district. And what the committee ended up deciding was that they were going to bring a recommendation to the Board of Trustees at that meeting next week to reduce the footprint of the district by closing one or more schools, and also to sort of permanently or more permanently close the middle school, which has not had students in it this year. All the middle school students were moved to the high school, but they decided that they were going to kind of winterize that building as much as they could without risking damage to the plumbing, and kind of shut that thing down, you know, more substantially.
Yeah. So that was, I remember when that happened, or when they shut down the middle school, and I guess the hope was that they would reopen it. Now they're saying maybe they'll never reopen it, or they'll shut it down permanently.
Yeah, there's still some discussion about what the future of the facilities are going to look like. There's some thoughts that potentially some of the outlying elementary schools, Idaho Hill in Old Town and then Priest Lake Elementary, if the district decides that they're not able to operate those schools with their current budget, there's a chance that students may, you know, be moved to the middle school and they may reopen that, or they may all be kind of consolidated to Priest River Elementary. It's not certain, I guess, at this time what exactly that's going to look like.
Yeah. The other ideas that they have to save funds are to close what else? I mean, where else can they save money?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, they mentioned the operations director there, Ryan Carruth, mentioned that the high school building and the elementary school building can house all of the students in the district. They have the capacity to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess potentially you could see it go all the way down just to students, you know, going to the high school and then the Priest River Elementary. But I'm not sure, you know, if that's exactly is going to happen, or if they're going to do a different arrangement.
And that would be, so that would be just those two schools open in all of West Bonner County, but potentially.
Yes. Yes.
Two buildings.
Yep. Yeah. And there was a little bit of concern where if you were to do that, yes, those buildings maybe have the capacity, but what would the class sizes look like?
Yeah.
Because they may not have enough classrooms to, you know, accommodate all of the class sizes that they currently have in the district.
Are they having to mix classes, you know, like fifth and sixth grade and together, that sort of
I'm not
measure?
Sure. Yeah. I'm not sure exactly. Mm-hmm.
Is there, were you at the meeting?
I was, yeah.
Were there a lot of citizens there?
There were a handful.
Just a handful?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. I would think, yeah. Is there any measure of how parents are taking the school situation?
Yeah, it's many of the meetings that I've been to, you know, the board meetings and this facility meeting and those sort of things have had a handful of attendees, but, you know, it hasn't been sort of the mass attendance that we've maybe seen in the past year at some of those meetings for West Bonner.
Oh, that's interesting. People are tired of it, I guess.
Well, they were wrangling over the composition of the board. But this is now the board's work to figure out how to finance things. Folks are not as engaged with that.
Yeah. This levy having failed, I guess the next, they could try to pass a levy in May, if I'm not mistaken. That would be their next opportunity to try and go after additional funds. Is there anything else they can do as far as fundraising? Can they, are there state or federal grants for that they can appeal to or anything like that?
Yeah, it's sort of a little bit of good news for the district and for all the districts in Idaho is that the money for House Bill 521, which was sort of a piece of legislation that came through that essentially offers in total about $1 billion for school facilities. And the first payments for those are for that money is starting to come through. And so West Bonner is expecting to receive about $4 million for facilities. Lake Pondere School District, it's about 15 and it's based off of the average daily attendance of the districts. And so that will, that money will help them do a little bit of facilities maintenance or facility repair. But besides that, the district is, has been kind of fundraising for several months now, holding some events and you know, community members kind of helping to try to raise some funds for the district. But as far as I understand, some district officials have expressed that they do want to run another levy in May, but I'm not sure what other options are available to them.
Well, okay. I think you probably already said, but can you, when are decisions going to be made there on what they're going to do, on what, you know, what facilities are going to close and what, you know, what cutbacks are going to be made?
Yeah. Yeah. So next Wednesday, there'll be a meeting of the school board, and that's when the facilities committee is going to bring forth that recommendation to reduce the footprint of the district. I'm not sure if a decision will be made on Wednesday or if it'll be later, but that's kind of when that's going to come to the board's attention.
Yeah.
Any prospect for more financial help from the state?
Not that I'm aware of. You know, I think the House Bill 521 and that facilities money was sort of the state's big offering for this year. So I'm not sure what else the state would offer, but maybe they could have something else. I'm not sure.
The middle school, which has now been closed, or, you know, closed to students anyway for a while, but that that's kind of a historic old building, isn't it? I mean, it's a very old building for sure. And I think it's kind of historic. Would they, I mean, is there a chance they might have to like sell the property itself, no longer own, you know, own that building? And
yeah, there's, yeah, there've been, you know, trustees have said in recent weeks that pretty much everything's on the table. They've also recognized, like you said, Jack, that it is a historic building. It's right there on Main Street through town. And, you know, they've kind of said it's almost the front door or the front step of that community.
Yeah.
And so it's, yeah, they're considering everything though at this point.
How about over here in, a little close to our studio in Sandpoint, the Lake Ponderay school district. They also had, we'll mention, I'll mention again the Geraldine Lewis resignation, but also I think you wrote the story on the Sandpoint Middle School and other kind of facilities in our area. What's the scene like over here? A little less, a little different than it is over in West Bonner County.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. So they had on Tuesday, just before the meeting of the school board in Lake Ponderay, they kind of hosted a little session, you know, an open house or a town hall, I guess, where they invited stakeholders, you know, parents and community members to kind of give some input as they're planning out an $18.5 million renovation of the Sandpoint Middle School. Largely, you know, thanks to that $15 million of House Bill 521 funds that they're getting. Pretty much all of those funds are going to go toward the middle school. And so they're just hosted that event. They hosted a little meeting at the Burnclough coffee shop that morning of Tuesday to kind of also give people an opportunity to chime in. And so they just heard, you know, essentially what people would like to see the renovations look like at that school.
What kind of plans were they looking at?
Yeah, so it was, they had the architect there and who kind of described some of the core features of the building that would have to be upgraded. I think they mentioned that the school still has kind of the original electrical system from, I want to say, 1953. So, you know, some of those kind of core pieces, they're going to do some new windows in there that are going to be maybe, you know, double pane glass. They're going to be
more energy efficient.
More energy efficient, certainly, yeah. But they, a lot of the, you know, attendees at that meeting talked more about things like, you know, the lighting that they would like to see, of, you know, better lighting, upgrades to the gym was another thing. And then especially the cafeteria, they wanted to see the cafeteria expanded, was a common thing.
Is there an addition planned?
So
of either a gym or a cafeteria.
they're still talking about what exactly it's going to look like. It's looking pretty likely that the cafeteria will be expanded. The parking at that school also may kind of see some changes with that. Some people kind of expressed you know, some dissatisfaction with that. But I think they're, you know, mainly focusing on kind of bringing a lot of those core systems up to date, and then also seeing what else they can do with that money as well.
Mm-hmm. That building, the middle school, I think, was it just last winter that a pipe broke and they had to evacuate? I
mean, yeah, they had to close it down for a few days. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And some concern that it might have to be closed for longer than that. And they fortunately didn't find black mold. But yeah, it's been kind of teetering as well on the knife's edge of maintainability. Mm-hmm. Geraldine Lewis, did you, in your months here as a reporter, had you had the opportunity to interact with Geraldine at all? Do you know, did you get to know her while you were here?
You know, a little bit. Yeah. She, you know, she's been serving as the board chair, mm-hmm. For the trustees for a few years now, and she's been on the board for almost 10.
Mm-hmm.
So she, you know, she was pretty much leading all of the meetings since I've been here. And so that was just at the end of Tuesday's meeting, she announced that she would be resigning from that seat, the Zone 4 seat. Mm-hmm. And
That's the Sagal area.
Yeah, it's the Sagal area east of Highway 95, mm-hmm. and then also sort of the Kootenai area south.
Yeah, it does go across the lake a little bit.
It's kind of
odd-shaped zone for her.
So the
person who gets appointed has to live within that zone.
That's right.
Chris, you knew her,
many years.
She's no longer with us. Yes, you know her well. Was this unexpected? Was this kind of something that we knew was coming, had there been talk of this for a while?
Well, I don't think publicly, no. But she's been on their board for a long time, and you know, as Eric wrote, you know, she's got a new grandchild, and she's got some other. She's put in her her years in the salt mine, if you will, for the community. So, you know, big thanks to Geraldine. She's really done stellar work for the district.
Yeah, she'll be a missed voice on the school board, but the application window we expect to open up on December 11th for someone to fill that seat in Zone 4. Let's see, what else have you been writing about, Eric? I'm scanning my local news here. The Bonner County EMS. Now, I know you didn't write this story, but I guess I had heard rumors that they were in some kind of trouble, but that there was some funding, there was going to be some sort of funding issue, but I guess I'm not fully aware of how the budget works for Bonner County EMS. Can they, because they're a county agency, and so they apparently when they reach the end of their budget, it's not like the county itself is going to be like paying the paychecks or something like that. It's the county has to loan them the money. They're a separate agency.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I don't know exactly the nuances of it all. You know how that's related, but I know they kind of operate semi-autonomously compared to other, you know, county departments. That story was covered by our new county and courts reporter Grant, who's doing some really excellent work. But he, from what I understand from reading his article, it kind of came out of the blue a little bit that there was this deficit of funds, and so that's kind of what caused the need for that $2 million loan, sort of to get the EMS department through the next couple of months and to keep to be able to keep employees on staff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. What Grant wrote was that the trouble was apparently when about $2 million was taken out of the department's budget to pay for part of the new Bonner County EMS building on Division Avenue. Mm-hmm. So the budget may reflect one thing, but they don't have the cash now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they're scrambling this way.
Mm-hmm. They will receive a tranche of funds from taxes in January, and that will keep them going. So after this loan, I know Carolyn Lobsinger covered the Pondere police no longer accepting any stray dogs. Is there anything more to say about that other than this is the first of the major consequences that we've seen now of the widespread decision to cancel the contract with the Better Together Animal Alliance?
Yeah, Pondere, Sandpoint, and Bonner County all canceled that longstanding contract they had because the animal shelter had been incurring a lot more expense from handling those dogs than the entities had been chipping into their budget.
Mm-hmm. And this is the first one, as far as I know, first of the local law enforcement that's just said, don't call us, basically. You know, if you see a stray, it's not our job.
Yeah, I'm not sure if the county may have already said something like that, too.
Yeah, that's right. I remember Sheriff Wheeler had a certain... had a stance on it, but I'm not sure if that's resolved yet, or what the official county position is, if they get a call about a stray dog, if they'll respond or not. I don't know. Have you guys talked about that in the newsroom at all? The Pondere decision to no longer pick up strays?
Yeah. I've been kind of following definitely that story about stray animal care in the local area. Mm-hmm. And so with this decision, I think, you know, it's an important distinction that they said in the press release that, you know, if people call, for a stray dog, that the police department won't come and pick it up. But if officers, you know, find stray dogs roaming, then mm-hmm. then that, you know, they will recover that dog and then do their best to reconnect it with the owner as soon as possible. And if that's not possible, they said that they will take it to an animal shelter in Hayden. I want to say it's Companions Animal Center in mm-hmm. Hayden is where that dog will be taken. And they also announced in the press release that the department is offering like a free tagging program. So anytime somebody wants to come up and get a dog tag for their animal.
Mm-hmm. That has the phone number to call if somebody finds the stray. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and that's just part of kind of, an initiative that they have to see if they can try to connect more dogs with their owners before they have to shelter them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is the microchip tagging thing where they can, it's basically.
No, I think it's the.
I think actual, that in this case it's a
physical collar, tag. A collar tag. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, interesting. Okay. So that's the dog news in our area. Anything else we should discuss before?
Well, we are actually out of time officially here, but a couple of softer stories, if you will.
Yes. Let's do it, Chris. That's what we need.
The city just announced that the Russell Sports Center is going to have an open house, kind of an open house. They have the turkey mm-hmm. trot right there between this at that location with YMCA right across the street, and Thanksgiving Day, 9 a.m. Well, they're going to have the Sports Center open, so that'll be a first chance for the public to get inside and have a look. Mm-hmm. They're expecting an early December opening for the facility for play. Mm-hmm. So that's getting very close. And Schweitzer's gotten, yesterday they said they had 10 inches of new snow, and that was on top mm-hmm. of the previous 5 days or so where they had got 25 inches. And so they're barreling towards a November 22nd opening. That's a week before Thanksgiving, so that's an early opening for Schweitzer.
It is indeed.
Eric, are you a skier or snowboarder?
Yeah, I'll be anxiously awaiting the 22nd. Yeah,
we are. It's a little different than last year, and the snow level I think has been holding at about 4,000 feet. So all of this rain that we're getting down here has been
it's just barely been snow up there. But you know that kind of heavy snow makes a good base, so mm-hmm. it's actually good. If we can get just a few degrees mm-hmm. cooler, that would be nice.
Okay.
So work on that, Jack.
I'll do my best. Actually, it does. Just speaking of the weather, it does look like we may actually get some snow down here on Saturday tomorrow. We might see some flakes tomorrow evening. We'll see if the precipitation comes, but it looks like the temperature is going to be dropping a little bit. Well, that's it for North Idaho News of the Week, I believe. Erica, anything you want to preview as far as what you're working on for the upcoming editions of the paper or anything like that?
Nothing comes to mind. Some fun kind of hopefully lighthearted pieces coming next week, kind of spotlighting some fun community events and initiatives. So that'll be...
Yeah, one thing that's happening next weekend is the Carousel Smiles is having a fun day. I think it's Saturday, right? Next Saturday at the fairgrounds.
I believe the 23rd, yep.
The 23rd, and they're going to have a bunch of, I saw the number of 35 nonprofit groups. They'll have little booths there, and it'll be an opportunity for the whole community to get together and see the ponies and see the carousel. And it's kind of an exciting time there for the carousel.
Yeah.
This great place to take the kids.
This radio station will be there. We're one of those nonprofits that's going to have a little booth out there, so you can drop by and say hi to us. Eric, you going home for Thanksgiving, or are you staying here in North Idaho?
I think I'll be sticking around for Thanksgiving this time. I've got some friends. We're planning on doing a Friendsgiving rather than a Thanksgiving. So
that's always always fun. Some of the best Thanksgivings. Okay. Thanks for listening to North Idaho News of the Week. Stay tuned now for Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long here on 88.5 KRFY, and we'll see you next week.
Bye now.